Hi, I am Naps. For our scripture reading today, it's from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Thanks be to God for the gift of the scripture.
I wonder if you'd pray for me and with me as we begin the sermon. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you. I pray that those who are listening would receive a message that you direct, and that you, I pray, use these words to do some good thing in their lives and their hearts. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last couple of weeks, I saw an article about an artist who makes these amazing patterns in the snow. And his name is Simon Beck. He's 61 years old. And he does these drawings, which are best seen with a bird's eye view. So they put a drone up in the air, and you can see the patterns he's making. And to make the pattern, he has to sometimes walk more than 50 miles in the snow, over and over and over, and he makes geometric designs. Some of them are based on mathematical fractals, others are based on snowflakes, others are just patterns that he thinks of. And he walks the pattern slowly, step by step. His steps create the pattern. And then sometimes he has people on the outside edge, the boundary, who follow along, and they keep his steps aligned. They keep him straight. You can see these pictures are just remarkable, all of these different designs. And he does all this with snowshoed steps. And so that's how he brings all this together. Some of these designs take 2 hours. Some take as many as 6 hours to produce. He's done more than 300 of these now. The ones that I'm showing you this morning were out in Colorado. Today, what I want you to think about is that it's middle of the month. In January, the first month of 2021, and essentially, we've got this big canvas of a calendar. Now, if you're like me, a lot of my calendar is still blank. Sure, I've filled up bits and pieces of it, but there's more blank than there is filled right now. And I'm thinking about the patterns that I want to make in that calendar. And the question is, will you and I, with our lives, create a beautiful pattern of where our steps take us? Or will we be less thoughtful about that? Will we produce the beautiful pattern of walking in the footsteps of Christ and letting Christ direct our steps, letting Jesus keep us in line, if you will? Or will we do something different? If our lives are a testimony of the love of Christ, we will show others that it is wise and beneficial to follow Jesus. Because right now, people aren't going to follow Jesus or listen to you even talk about your faith for any other reason than this. It is a wise idea, and it is a beautiful life. That's what I think people are looking for right now. They're looking for sources of wisdom, and they're looking for other people, and they're asking, is that person living a life that I think is a beautiful life to live, or are they just like everybody else? We have an option this year. We can follow in the steps of Christ as he directs us, or we can just trudge along any way we want, churning up mud in the snow. And if so, we will leave behind steps that are both muddled and unsightly. And so that's what lays before us in this coming year. And the question is, how do we do it? Now, the thing that I want you to consider with me, and I've been thinking about this past week as I've been preparing this sermon, is this. When's the last time you took a survey of the pattern that you're leaving behind as you walk through your life? When's the last time you really took a hard look at your thoughts, your words, and your actions. And when you do that, if you could get a bird's eye view of what you're leaving as you live out day after day, you take your steps, you say your words, you think your thoughts. If we could get a bird's eye view of that pattern, would it be a beautiful thing to observe? I think for me, that's what thinking about my life in the context of my love of Christ, that's what it does for me. It's not easy, but all of us are children of God, and we want to live out our identity as God's children. And to do that, you really do have to look inside what some of the mystics in the Christian tradition have called the interior castle. You have to go in there and you have to look at your heart, evaluate what's there, walk through the different rooms and ask yourself, am I acting and living in ways that are consistent with what Jesus called the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And when we do that, we live out what is commonly called the rule of Christ's love, the rule of love. And the rule of love is when Jesus' lordship in our life begins to dominate how we think, what we say, what we do. And I don't know if this is true for you, but I think that's hard right now. I think a lot of us may be struggling with that, even as we begin a brand new year and we've got the canvas. It's just hard to get the pattern started easily. I find, and I heard someone else say this, that human action is motivated either by great fear or great love. Human action is motivated by great fear or great love. And the question I've been asking myself recently, and the question that I'm asking you this morning is, what is ruling your heart right now? Fear will always produce a very messy pattern. Fear produces mud in the snow. But when we live a life of love that's motivated by love, and the love of Christ begins to rule our hearts, as the scripture says, that's what creates the beautiful pattern that when people sort of get a bird's eye view of your life, they it just takes their breath away. They're just like, wow, how'd you become like that? And that's when they want to know about your faith in Jesus. That opens up a door to possibly share what you have with someone else. Well, I think the way to begin that is to examine our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to ask ourselves this question, am I a more loving person right now, today, than I was a year ago? So think back over that 12-month period. Is it fair to say that a lot has happened in that 12-month period? Are you, am I, a more loving person than I was a year ago? Am I walking with Christ in a beautiful pattern that others can see? Or are my steps disjointed and, frankly, just a bundle of mess? I say this because here's what I'm not asking you to think about. I'm not asking you, are you more in love with people who agree with you about everything? I'm asking you and I'm asking me, are we more loving people broadly, wherever we go? See, that's what Jesus does. He asks us that second question. He celebrates where it comes easy, but he pushes us into the space where it is harder. Do we demonstrate a pattern of actions in keeping with the rule of Christ's love as he commanded? Do we show more of this love now than we did a year ago? I wish it were as simple as just making a New Year's resolution, right? Because that's what many of us do. Let's just imagine that for many. Let's just say, wow, it's late, you know, it's middle of the month, but we're going to make a resolution, be it resolved. And okay, let's take some anonymous person, for example. Let's imagine it's somebody, it's a guy, let's say he's sort of middle-aged, graying hair, 6 feet tall, maybe has a religious vocation, somebody none of us know. And let's just say this guy says, you know what, I'm going to make a resolution, whereas this anonymous person is a wee bit impatient with others sometimes, be it resolved, he will be a loving person in 2021. Wouldn't it be great if that would work? And it does, initially. It does. He makes that resolution. He gets up the next morning. He's kind to his spouse. He's kind to his neighbor. He's kind to coworkers. And everything goes well. Everything goes well till he has to interact with that idiot. You know what I'm talking about? That idiot on the highway? Honestly, have you driven on the highway lately? I don't know what happened during this pandemic, but it is like everybody thinks 100 miles an hour on the interstate is a great idea. And there's that person just whizzing around, and all of a sudden, he's not loving anymore. He's okay till he has to deal with that idiot on the news, or that idiot who, shall we say, is a less enlightened person who disagrees with him about some matter that he deems important to himself. Maybe you've got that same impatience. Have you ever noticed how a resolution comes and goes just like this? Such people make it hard for him to bring back that loving feeling and hold on to it. As the Apostle Paul stated, "Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" Here's what I know. If my life is ever going to create a dependable, beautiful pattern, that when somebody gets a bird's eye view, says, "Wow," the way you might have said about those images that I showed you at the very beginning of this sermon. If that's ever going to happen in my life with acts of love and grace and kindness and forgiveness, it's not going to be because I resolved to do it. It's going to be that I surrendered to Jesus. I've never known a time in my life where I needed a Savior more than now. And not just a Savior who can show me how to live and forgive me for what I'm not and help me see a new way, but a Lord who, once my heart transforms into the ways of love, helps me to maintain it. Because I have a bad habit, maybe you do too, of following Jesus for a little while and letting him guide my steps and then veering off and going any way I want until eventually the pattern is just all amiss. I'm finding that Jesus, for me, just makes all the difference. I need, again, that Savior who can shift my attitude and that Lord who can help me maintain the transformation, situation after situation, person after person, until I see everybody, even the guy whizzing past me in the car, is a child of God. And I don't come out of a heart that's full of fear. I come out of a heart that's motivated by love. That's why these words in 1 John are such good news to me that we read this morning, you heard read this morning. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent the one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. The love comes not because I will it, the love comes because God sends it. And it comes to us when we have a real relationship with Jesus. And that can't be just a thought about Jesus or some belief I hold. In my life, it's got to be an active relationship where, frankly, it just all falls apart. All the good intentions, all the resolutions. I don't need a little love in my heart. I need Jesus as my Lord. Jesus, who lived to show us his wisdom. Jesus, who loved the imperfect people he knew and encountered so consistently and persistently. He died to atone for our sins, and in so doing, he showed us how to love other people sacrificially. He showed us how to let our junk die so that we would be resurrected into new life in him. It's both the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, but it's also the thought that Jesus, through the resurrection, enables me to overcome the sin that keeps me from making that beautiful pattern. And I cling to that these days. The question before us is, how do we love the way that Jesus loved? And so this next passage in 1 John is really helpful. Dear friends, in verse 11, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and God's love is made complete in us. In 2021, I've been asking some other people to think with me. I've actually called some people, friends of mine, and people I think are wise, and said, hey, what would a church do this year that would make it a loving place? What should people be doing? And I've thought a lot about that in my life. How can we best love our neighbor? And I've got just three ideas for you. Three ideas. New year. What if we walk with Jesus in such a way that we would just always speak up for the reality that's in front of us? You know, when Jesus encountered people, he didn't wish it away or call it something or what. He dealt with people with the real thing they were dealing with. And that's how he healed people. He healed them because he was willing to say, this person has this illness, this person has this sickness, this person has this. And he embraced facts. So that's the way I'd put it. Speak up for facts. You know, I think right now, one of the most loving things that we can do is be truthful about the reality that America has in so many ways. In our country, we have started to confuse opinions with facts, ideology with truth, and attributes with evidence. I'm sorry, attitudes with evidence. I believe that the most important issue in our country right now are the COVID precautions and vaccinations that are rolling out. I think it's the most important thing that we're dealing with right now. And my goodness, it's a pretty crowded playing field. Wouldn't you agree? But friends, this week, there was a day this week when over 5,500 people died of COVID-19. It's astronomical compared to what we thought it would be. And that's a fact. So far, over 385,000 people have died of this. And that's not an opinion or a feeling. It's just so important because the more we embrace facts, the more we will do things to solve that problem. And we won't complain about them, and we won't say that we don't have to do them. And when the vaccination gets to each of us, as it will one day come to all of us, we'll get vaccinated. You know, one of the things public health officials are afraid of is that people won't be vaccinated. And friends, if we want to love our neighbor, we have to deal with this disease so that we can get a life that's a life. We have to pray for those that are at risk and treat them carefully. And we have to work with precaution. And we have to pray for those that are sick and encourage people to do the right thing. But we have to speak up for facts in so many other areas too. Second thing I want you to think about, if we want to love our neighbor in 2021, I want us to show up for people that are vulnerable. Show up and speak up. And we should always show up and speak up for other people. But we should especially do it for people that are in vulnerable situations. Last week there was a story about Shantia Humphreys. Shantia is an African-American woman who lives in a mixed-race neighborhood in Washington, D.C. This neighborhood has third-generation African-American families. It has white people that have moved into that neighborhood. It has people of color broadly. It's a very diverse neighborhood. And she was driving home last Wednesday, tough day at work, just tired, you know, tired of COVID, tired of everything. And as she's driving home, there was that mob that went to the Capitol for some reason had come through her neighborhood. They were coming through her neighborhood on their way down to join up with a larger group. And there were people just streaming through the street past her car. She was stuck at a red light. She couldn't move in a car, lots of people around her. And she could just tell from what they were carrying. She's an African-American woman. They're carrying Confederate flags. They've got things on their t-shirts, which obviously show that for them, Black lives do not matter. It was just a tough place for her to be. And she had a lot of thoughts going through her head, but she knew it was unsafe to utter any of them. And so she said she was at this red light, and she looked up, and she looked, and she saw some people, her neighbors, in the windows, and some of them were speaking to the group that was walking past. But she said there was one guy over here, and I've read the report. He's a 60-year-old white guy. He was a lawyer in D.C., and he was on his front porch in this neighborhood, and he was just giving it to this crowd. And they interviewed him later, and he said, you know, I was really offended. He said, we've got this diverse neighborhood. We all get along, and this group of people's coming through, stirring everything up. And he said, I must admit, I was inappropriate. I was really ticked off about it. Well, Ms. Humphreys looked up and saw this man on his porch, and she said she thought to herself, wait a minute, That guy's white. And he's saying things that I would say if I could say them safely. And you know what? The lawyer, said that he felt kind of bad because he said, I was kind of wound up, and his name was Peter Tracy. He said he didn't necessarily feel the best about what he had said, but he said he remembered the Black Lives Matter protest. He remembered the tear gas and the police and riot gear just a few blocks away from where he lives. He remembered how all that was handled. And he said the contrast just made him so frustrated, and that the crowd was coming through his neighborhood. And so he acted that way because he felt that he needed to speak for people in his neighborhood who didn't feel safe speaking. Well, Miss Humphreys later went over to his house and knocked on his door and just said, hey, thanks, I saw all that. I live up the street. She and he talked for 2 hours, like they were old friends and they had never met before until that moment. Why? Because he showed up for somebody who felt vulnerable. Does it make him a hero? Absolutely not. It just makes him a neighbor who loved his neighbor. And I just wonder what the world would be like if there was more of that. More people showing up for other people. More people willing to give voice to what they see around them. And I wonder if we can be people who show up for the vulnerable in 2021. I wonder if we can be people who show up for each other and care for one another, because that's a normative part of Christian community. But can we also show up for people in our community who may not have a friend and who may not have a voice? I think that showing up is really important. I think that leaves quite a pattern of beauty when we get to the end of our lives and we look back on all of it. And if we want to love our neighbor, I think there's a third thing to consider. I think we've got to constantly act in love. And friends, this is the one that's really hard, to act in love. What would our lives and our community be like if you and I walked with Jesus daily in the radiance of his love? If we just followed his steps? And if we ask ourselves, when we came to critical junctions, should I go right or left? And the question became that question that we asked you last week to think about. What would Jesus want me to do right now? Go right, go left, go straight. But not what do I want to do right now, but what would Jesus have me do right now? And if we would ask that question, I think we'd get to more loving responses. And it's not that easy loving people right now. Some of you have told me you're feeling tension in friendships, tension with families, and yet we don't just get to agree with the people we agree with. We've got to figure out how to love our neighbor. That's everybody. So we ask, what is the most loving thing I can do in this situation? You know, it's interesting. This week I was reading an interview by a former senior Homeland Security intelligence analyst. His name is Daryl Johnson. It was on NBC News. I saw the print version of this. 11 years ago, he wrote an internal report warning that right-wing extremism was on the rise in the United States and that could lead to violence. He talked how, he asked the question, you know, how do we respond to groups like that? How do we respond to extremists? How do you help extremists not be extremists? And it was so amazing when I read this. A member of the church sent it to me. I was fascinated by it. He said, if you've got family members or neighbors or coworkers that are part of these movements, rather than ostracize and debate and criticize them, do something different. He said, nobody's ever argued anybody out of that view. And now I'm going to quote what he said. The only way you're going to get rid of hate is through love. Every person I've ever known that's been a white supremacist has left the movement through an act of compassion or love. They didn't leave it because someone convinced them that their belief system was wrong. They left it because someone loved them. Now, I doubt you're dealing with a lot of hardcore white supremacists. I doubt that. You may be, but most people are just dealing with people they have a difference of opinion about. And here's what I want to say. The former analyst from Homeland Security is suggesting that Jesus is spot on. That We bridge gaps in relationships. We bridge gaps in beliefs. We bridge gaps in agreement through love. Not through skillful argument, not through being right, but through love. Now, love allows you to say difficult things, but because you say them in a loving way, they're far more likely to actually begin to shift thinking and help people look at it from a different way. And people can say things to you because you know what I know about me? I feel like I'm right about a lot of things, but often when other people talk to me, I think, wow, I didn't think of that. And we're losing the ability more and more to do the empathetic listening that love allows. Doesn't mean you have to accept everything that somebody's saying to you. It does mean we have to listen in love and speak in love. And I don't know about you, but it's hard. And yet, Jesus is our Savior and Jesus is our Lord, and He has saved us for such things that we can do them as the Master did. So that question, what's the most loving thing I can do in this situation, I think is helpful in most extreme situations, but it is also most helpful in the non-extreme situations, just the normal decisions of life. So here's the challenge. State the truth about things with a persistent spirit of gentleness and self-control, but friends, facts make all the difference. Two. Show up for other people. Show up in love. And ask yourself, what is the most loving thing I can do in this situation? And especially for people that are vulnerable, but for everybody and all those decisions, what's the most loving thing I can do in this situation? And then there's this something we've created for you that I want you to I would like you to print this. And it's on the website. It's available to you. It's called Love Your Neighbor Bingo. I want you to try this week. And you may think, Tom, this is the silliest thing. But I think it's a really great idea. The way you play Love Your Neighbor Bingo is you over the next 5 days, you try to get bingo. You can only get one square a day, okay? So play it every day and take a square and get bingo. You can get bingo by this way. You get bingo any way you want. The point is, especially if you're a family and you've got children, I want to invite you to make this a family activity. Love Your Neighbor Bingo. Give them practice in loving people. But if you're a single older person, still do it. Print it. Put it up on the refrigerator somewhere. Put it somewhere where you'll see it. And just check one off every day. Nothing brings people more joy than extending love and being loved. I think that's the calling of Christ in our lives. I hope you'll be praying and join us for our prayer service this week for the inauguration, for our country, for our leaders, for our citizens. And I hope that you'll do that, and I hope you'll be a loving person this week. Join me in my attempt to surrender day after day to Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, until you come into our lives, we'll never be more loving. And so I want to pray, Lord, for those that are questioning whether these things are even possible, before we get on to the details of how, I want to just give a moment that if anybody wants to renew their relationship with you and just in the space that they're in, whether it's in their mind's eye or whether they physically just raise their hand, if there's anybody who wants to raise their hand and renew and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and into my heart afresh because I'm struggling, because it's hard, because I really don't know how to do this thing you're asking me to do. And I need you to be my Savior, and I need you to be my Lord. And Lord, help them to feel your presence, your hand on their hand, your presence in that room, wherever they are. And I pray that you'd walk with all of us this week and this month as we attempt to do your will. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.